All right, Nick, I had a conversation online, as a matter of fact, yesterday. And here, let me just read this to you, and then I will just get your reaction before I go into what more of the conversation was. Based on the online directory for the Nebraska Athletic Department, there are 417 employees, 36 have athletic director in their title. Breathtaking how many salaries it takes to field a bottom-of-the-barrel Big Ten athletics program.
Bottom-of-the-barrel
Big Ten program. That's talking about the athletic department as a whole.
It's interesting. The context on this, I think, is obviously a bit important, because are we talking about performance on the field? Are we talking about administrative decisions? Are we talking about, you know, being in line for, or at least the ability to grapple with what everything that's going on with revenue share? This is what I would say. I'm surprised to hear that initially. My initial reaction is, wow, that's surprising, because I like to think athletic departments, when they are able to not only successfully pivot with change, with major change, but to the point that they're actually ahead of the curve, when they've anticipated, they've already put things in place to make sure that when everything is coming down and it's the first day that it's in effect, that it is as seamless as possible, because you have done everything you need to do as an entire athletic department to make sure that everyone is transitioned the way it needs to be, so the product on the field doesn't suffer. And I've always been led to believe that's where Nebraska is as an athletic department. So that's why I would say I'm surprised. Now, as far as the day-to-day and how things are getting done, I would say I don't know enough about that to maybe be surprised or to say, yeah, that makes sense. Because when you have that big of an athletic department, and what was that number again? You said how many have athletic director in their title?
36.
Wow. That's a big number. And could that mean a lot of cooks in the kitchen when it comes to your day-to-day decision-making? Or is that more normal in college athletics? I guess I would have to maybe look around, especially to your own conference peers in the Big Ten. Is that more normal? I will say this. Yeah, my initial reaction, that surprises me.
So and I think the conversation on where we were, a lot of that comes from results on the field. Mm-hmm. Results on the field. And yes, we've seen what football has looked like for at least the last decade, especially since joining the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Men's basketball making one NCAA tournament in the last decade. Obviously won the crown. But when you look at those two, like those are the two big ones across the league. Now, yes, volleyball here, maybe hockey somewhere else, but those are the two big ones. So those aren't going well for Nebraska. And if you're, I just want to make sure I don't misrepresent what was said. So it was, when you suck at the top two items in your job description, you probably aren't very good at your job. Now, my pushback was, if we're talking about results on the field, Nebraska's athletic department finished 22nd in the nation last year in the Director's Cup standings, third in the Big Ten, through the winter sports this year, number 24 in the nation, eighth in the Big Ten. Obviously, football and men's basketball not scoring for the Huskers in either one of those. You're getting a lot of wrestling, just finished national runner-up. You had volleyball continuing to make Final Fours. You just go multiple years on things right now. Well, shoot, right now men's tennis is back into the NCAA tournament for just the third time in program history. That's going to be the potential for some points there. Baseball won the conference tournament last year, just a couple of years ago, won the conference during the regular season. Men's track and field has won multiple conference titles over the last few years.
Bowling.
We have to get to bowling in there. So soccer, not this past year.
Yeah, women's this, 2 years
they
ago.
Just
yep.
They just had a recent Elite Eight run. Look at the athletic department as women's basketball. We can't forget Amy Williams and everything they've done. They've posted back-to-back 20-win seasons. They've made three of the last four NCAA tournaments. There's a lot of very good things happening in this athletic department while also staying in the black.
Yes.
Like very if you're key there. Yeah, the way the whole thing is being run. Now, there is some aspect of that to where I say, all right, unleash the funnel on spending on some of these things where you can go, okay, you see what other places are spending, go outspend them a little bit because you have that. But I also know fiscally conservative Nebraska, that's not necessarily where you're going to go. Right. But in the long term, it's nice to have a healthy department where they are financially. And part of that being a healthy department financially is that you're also seeing success from your athletic programs. They just had Night at the Lead the other night, and you saw all the student athletes and all of the success that they've had, all of the All-Americans, men's gymnastics, we didn't even mention, consistently getting to the NCAA tournament, finishing in the top four, all of those types of things. Lexi Rodriguez, all of her success with volleyball. Like, these are very real things, but if it comes back to football and men's basketball, then the appearance from the outside is that things aren't going well.
Yeah, that's the window dressing, if you will. When it goes to when you go into a store, and what do they always say right there on the window? You're going to have your most attractive thing that you're trying to sell, and that's obviously football, and then basketball. We're talking about the revenue generating sports. The other revenue generating sport is more than doing fine in volleyball. Mm-hmm. So if you look at where basketball has been and football, this is where I think it's really easy to lose sight of, and I'm not trying to be a homer here. I'm not trying to go rah-rah, zis kumba when it comes to the athletic department. I'm trying to keep this as factually accurate as I can, but also using the eyeball test. There is always going to be, when you're spending money and you are the main revenue generator for the athletic department, that there needs to be a high standard when it comes to win losses, when it comes to 9 to 10 wins. As we've talked about ad nauseum, Caleb, you and I, and previous shows that we've both been a part of, that's always been the conversation, is that win total. And it's dipped. We know that. It's dipped, and this was not even something that Matt Rhule all of a sudden introduced. This was something that he's trying to fix. But improvement's an improvement. Nebraska did improve a year ago. Now, maybe there's certain aspects in one-loss games that are still hanging around, but if we're just cutting through all of that and saying, did they go to a bowl game? Yes, they did. They didn't the year before. Everything else, you can talk yourself in and out of the belief of where this football program is going. But then you also look at basketball. Let's go back to the Griesel and Derek Walker team, where this is my, now this is more my opinion, less facts, but I bear with me here. The Sam Griesel, Derek Walker team is where I really felt a turning point was made for this basketball program. And what I mean by that is the Fred Hoiberg from Iowa State and the way that he won basketball games there and was successful. Then he goes to the Chicago Bulls, comes back. I think there were two things working against him when he came back. First of all, college basketball was completely different for the short time that he was away than what it currently was when he took the job at Nebraska. So you got to make the adjustment there. And then the second part about it is the conference itself, between Big 12 basketball and what's successful in Big 12 compared to the Big 10, where there is maybe a little bit more emphasis of having the traditional big man as opposed to not necessarily needing that in the Big 12. I get it. High-level basketball is high-level basketball, but you also have to adapt to your conference. And I think there was a lot of things that Fred had back in his time at Iowa State that worked very well for him, and I think he felt that he had pieces of that, or was at least assembling pieces of that when he first got to Nebraska. That didn't end up working, but what he was able to unlock in trying to find the right formula was, let's start with the culture in the locker room. Let's start with just having good dudes in the locker room that even when we're going through maybe a little bit of a funk, that we're not going to, the locker room is not going to be completely lost, that these guys are still going to compete at a high level and still have that desire and passion to win basketball games and get themselves out of that funk. I think he's been able to start with a solid culture. And I think the reason I bring up Walker and Griesel is those guys were tremendous culture guys. Yeah, they provided good production on the floor, but they were also guys that everyone else was going to lean on. So what I think he established from that standpoint on is a much more trustworthy team. And I know that sounds trustworthy. This is a team that should have made the Big Ten tournament. It was talking about the NCAA tournament. Well, yeah, and that did happen, and you can't ignore that. But as far as my confidence level that they're in a much better place because of the overall cohesiveness that they have and the fact that they actually have a team and there is chemistry there, even when they bring in new bodies, I feel a lot more confident about that. And by that, I feel a lot more confident that last year is going to be more the anomaly when it comes to a team that is solid guys. They can all play their role, but they all like each other. They all have that desire to win. And as soon as things start getting a little choppy in the water, they don't go running. This is a team that wants to embrace that. It's a culture, I should say, that wants to embrace that. So I feel like basketball is on the upswing once Fred was able to find that. So I look at football and basketball on the move. Are they where they need to be right now? No. But do I feel like they are on, they're ascending as opposed to descending? I do believe that. I believe they are starting to ascend.
Well, I mean, like it's well documented year three of Matt Rhule. So we'll see if that holds true in year three in Lincoln. And you're right about basketball. You go back to the Derek Walker's final year, and that's the year that things to me changed for Nebraska men's basketball, because that's when you got the thing that worked for Hoiberg's offense, and it is a high IQ passing big at the top of the key. Yep. Derek Walker lived with that. And then he could also take guys off the dribble and make stupid ankles on some shots down the lane. That was helpful as well. But then you went the next year, and it was Rink Mass doing it. Mm-hmm. And it worked really, really well. You have an NCAA tournament team.
And you get him back.
Yeah, you didn't have that this year, this past season. So you had to go to a lot of Bryce Williams, what do you have? Juwan Gary, what do you have? And it was just the team would have been, if you had a healthy Rink Mass this last season, I think they run away on a way to the NCAA tournament. We'll see what that looks like this next season when you get Rink Mass back and how all of that goes. But I think both of those, like you said, on the upswing. If you're judging it entirely by results on the field or court for football and men's basketball, yeah, cumulatively combined between the two of them, your bottom half of the Big Ten, if that's the only way you're gauging it, by the wins and losses for those two sports. If you're judging the entirety of the athletic department by how does everyone do, you can even weight it. You can weight football more. You can weight basketball more. I get that. But volleyball is a big deal in this league. And you have the premier volleyball program, even with Wisconsin doing what they've done for the last several years, even with the history at Penn State, even with bringing in the California schools and bringing in the Pacific Northwest schools, you have the premier volleyball program in the conference. Softball right now, which we haven't even mentioned, by the way, is third in the league heading into their final weekend. They host Maryland this weekend. Nebraska is a top 25 team. They'll get into the Big Ten tournament next week out at Purdue. You have successful programs up and down this athletic department, and you're running in the black. So I think there's a lot to be said there. My argument on where this is, and some of this might come from the fact that I did track and field in college. And so when I see the constant conversations of maybe some of them being more tongue-in-cheek, where it's just make men's basketball a club team and give all of the money to football, or got all of the men's programs at Nebraska suck. Okay, well, when you say that, and you're talking about football and men's basketball, and maybe baseball being down a little bit right now, or when baseball loses the first game of the Big Ten tournament last year,
right?
You're ignoring gymnastics, wrestling, track and field, tennis this season, cross country. Like you're ignoring all of these things that have not just modicums of success, but have Big Ten championship, Big Ten runner-up, national runner-up expectations with what they do with their programs year in and year out. You're ignoring those. So no, the men's programs, the top two have not been great. As a whole, the department is extremely healthy. And where I would put it, I would argue that Nebraska is not just a top half of the Big Ten. So that would be top nine. I would argue Nebraska is a top five athletic department in the league. And obviously a big part of that is how is your football program doing? So that brings Nebraska down a little bit. But who are the athletic departments as a whole that you would compare to Nebraska? Ohio State, obviously, with what they have for their football program, but also they have a lot of other very good programs. Oregon, as a whole, for their athletic department, think track and field especially, helping with a lot of stuff, and they're going through a volleyball change. But then you go, okay, Penn State. Penn State's volleyball just did really well, and they've got football year in and year out, and basketball is super hit and miss on whether or not it's good. But, okay, Michigan, you throw them in there. You start to go down the list, and you can find a lot of team or a lot of athletic departments that have – they're not putting together their top two year in and year out.
Right.
And so if that's the – sometimes I think we're too close to it as either Nebraska media or Nebraska fans, and that we see the blemishes with the Huskers, especially football and men's basketball. But if we step back, there are a lot of blemishes all over the dang place, and Nebraska athletics as a whole is very, very healthy, and I would argue a top five athletic department top to bottom in the league.
And I would add to that, Caleb, because I think those are all great points. I would add to that, just start looking around. In a lot of those sports that maybe we don't discuss enough, look at some of those coaches too. One of my favorite coaches in the entire athletic department is a highly successful one too, and a guy that I want to go through a wall just on my day-to-day after I listen to him, and Mark Manning.
Yes.
You know, you've got this sustained success in a program, especially in a conference, that it is brutal to try to get above the Penn States and Iowas in wrestling. And Nebraska shows out on the national level this year. So there's still plenty of gas in that tank. I look at, you brought up Amy Williams. I think the consistency there, I think you've continued to see her evolve when it comes to recruiting it and in the transfer portal era of making that basketball program better and trying to climb up a notch each year, but at the very least ending their season in the NCAA tournament. I look at a lot of the coaches. I can't go through every one of them right now because we don't have time for that, but that's the other part of it is if you're around these coaches and you get a chance to sit down and talk to them about their vision, these are all people that have a pretty solid plan. It's just being able to roll with the punches that comes with the uncertainty of 18 to 22 year olds' decisions when it comes to recruiting. And when it comes to, do I decide to stick around or do I want to go in the transfer portal? That's what they're dealing with. But I like the collective group of coaches that this athletic department has. I like the no BS approach by Troy Dannon. Listening to him last night on the Athletic Director Hour. That's a guy that he's not coming in with scripted questions. It's not like, hey, can you ask me about this or that? He's a guy that's like, all right, whatever you got for me, let's let it rip. Hey, whatever fans, whatever you got for me, let it rip. And he actually does say something. So I feel like that's another element to this. And I'll speak on baseball as well, because I feel like I get into this conversation, this debate, or however you want to call it, every year when Nebraska's not playing well, is I understand compared to football, Nebraska's pinnacle for the baseball program happened more recent than football, and that is getting to the College World Series as opposed to playing in a national championship. 2005 was their most recent College World Series. But if you look at this program, going all the way back to when Darren Erstad took over and then to Will Bolt, this team is in the NCAA tournament more times than they're not. This team is above 500 more times than they're not. 2022 was not a good year for Nebraska. They were still above 500. They schedule tough because they understand the Big Ten is not always going to provide them that RPI spark. And sometimes when you schedule that tough, it can come back and bite you. Sometimes you suffer with some injuries. But this idea that Nebraska needs to be in the regional host conversation every year, to me, that is just – that is missing the reality of Nebraska baseball in 2025 as opposed to 2005. You're not in the Big 12 anymore. You're in the Big 10. Big 12 cares a lot about baseball, and they still do. Big 10, not as much. You hope that starts to improve now with the addition of the West Coast teams, but that's still a work in progress. So what do you do when it comes to that stud in-state recruit that you had no problem getting to Haymarket Park, playing in the Big 12, playing in places like Texas and College Station? That wasn't a tough sell. Now it's like, hey, do you want to go to Ann Arbor in April? Do you want to go to East Lansing? Do you want to go out to Piscataway and play a rockin' series? Do you want to go out to College Park, Maryland? And we may or may not be able to get a team from this conference into even a super regional. Okay, so there are challenges there, but that's why you got the coaching staff that you have to be creative with how you still sell those guys on this. And you're also dealing now with the ACC, the SEC, NIL part of it, where it's tough to compete with those teams. But yet you still do get the majority of those in-state players to your baseball program. There are new challenges for this program. And despite all of it, they might have one rocky year, but for the most part, they're in the NCAA tournament, they're in that conversation, and they're putting themselves right there in the mix of the Big Ten. I get it. This year is a little bit, let's just face it, it's not what we expected it to be, but there's still some time for them to get going. But even if they don't make the NCAA tournament, say that they go, you know, 2-Q in the Big Ten tournament, this is still a team that a year ago won a Big Ten tournament title. So that recency bias that we have sometimes and thinking about, well, they were in the College World Series in 05, so they need to be back at that level. That's just not the consistent reality with this baseball program or any team in the Big Ten right now.
There are a couple of steps that any team in the Big Ten is going to have to hit before College World Series is a consistent thing. I think when you're looking at, you want to be in the regionals, obviously, as best you can every year. But if you can get 3 out of every 4 years, that's like being out of the Big Ten Conference. And if you have a bad non-con, that's probably where you're at. And if you can be in the hosting conversation 1 out of every 5, 1 out of every 6 years, I think that's a realistic expectation, yes. I believe.
Agreed. I absolutely agree with that.
So that's where you are. I think baseball's got an exciting close coming up here in the month of May. Softball, like we said, wraps up their regular season into the Big Ten tournament next week. I think that's all the notes we've got on that. Thank you for entertaining my conversation on where Nebraska Athletic Department is based off of a conversation yesterday.